The Ozone.
Welcome to the Ozone Podcast, presented by ViStar Credit Union, with Jaguars senior writer, John Osier.
This week's guest, somebody I'm excited about, and I know the Jaguars fans will be excited to hear from him. It's a strange time with bringing in a new coaching staff, because they're hard at work, they're busy, they're not thinking about the media yet, but yet fans want to know what these guys are doing. So this is our first opportunity really to sit down and talk with Jaguars offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell. And Darrell, I appreciate you doing this, first of all. And a very general lead-in, how's it going?
Yeah, well, I can't believe that we're still doing this. We're still on Zoom after all this time, you know. But it's going great. I mean, we've been in the office here for quite a while, since January. And we've just kind of grinded away, really just putting together the plan. And, whether it's the plan of, acquiring the talent with the draft, with the free agency. Also, during that time, we're putting a playbook together as well.
You've been through this before. NFL coaches have switched jobs. They go to new regimes. Is there anything that strikes you about the process that you're going through now that's any different, any more exciting, anything that sort of stands out about putting this together compared to your past stops?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's great excitement here in Jacksonville. One, obviously, we got Coach Urban, and I mean, I think there's obviously buzz here in Florida because of that, and his history and the things that he's done in his past, whether it's turning Bowling Green around or Utah or Florida or Ohio State. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been, so I think that's something that naturally creates a buzz. I think having the first pick in the draft obviously creates a little bit more buzz. And then what we were able to do in free agency, some of the guys we were able to bring in, I think there's excitement there. And all of us coaches, I mean, we're just here working. We're ready to get to work with these guys. Can't wait till we can get our hands on them and, start teaching them the things that we're going to do this year.
You hadn't really met Urban before this. This is sort of your first go-around. Impressions, how is that relationship? And what is it like sort of installing that game plan and meshing with him, if you will? Not game plan, but the offense.
Yeah, it's been great. First of all, as it's a little bit different in this business to not have any connections at all, somewhere along the way. And we had not. So I think, getting the interview with them, having that opportunity and then being able to mesh the way that we did, I thought that was exciting. As far as preparing this stuff with him, it's been great. There's a lot of give and take. We got a lot of great minds here. George Warhop is here still with the offensive line. We brought Brian Schottenheimer in, myself and as well as other guys, but, the communication between Coach Urban, the offensive staff, kind of have feelings of what he likes, what he wants to do, where he's at. But then being able to blend, I guess where Brian's been, where I've been, and George has been, I think just being able to blend all that together to be able to come up with the best plan. And the plan starts one way. And then once you start getting the players and start, putting those players in and that play, then that plan can morph, and we're going to make sure that whoever our guys are that we're getting, that we'll put them in the best position to be successful. But right now, what is our core? What's our base? Where are we going to start one day one when they walk in here? And then the more we get to know them, then the more it will start to move around.
Is this a case where you put the playbook in page by page? I mean, is it that detailed, or without giving away too much, how does that process work once you get sort of granular with it?
Yeah, we start on page one, no question. And, start with, how do we huddle? Where are the guys standing in the huddle? And then we read through each and every page just to make sure, I believe that it's important for all of us to be speaking the same language, that it's not one guy says it this way, one guy says it this way. I think it's powerful when your whole staff is aligned and has the ability to speak it exactly the same way. So if they ask me, if they ask the quarterback coach, if they ask the receiver coach, everybody says it the exact same way. And so we start on page one and, we go through the general information section of, the cadence, the huddle, those kind of things. Then we start getting into like, okay, what are we calling these things when we line up in this formation? What's the best way to communicate it? Is that the simplest? All those questions that we go on. Then, how do we call the defenses? Because everybody's come from a little bit different areas. And, at some point, we got to pick a language for the Jaguars. And that's what we've been sitting in there doing. And, there's some familiarity because, Brian Schottenheimer took over for me in Seattle, which is interesting, you know. So he kind of went in and had the verbiage that I had when I was there. And then, you know, he did his deal and changed some of it, but there's enough where him and Sanjay, receiver coach, and myself were, you know, we say a couple words like, yep, let's do that. And so it's been great.
It's not that clear cut. You're sort of inventing some new verbiage as you go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? What's the best and what's going to be the simplest for the quarterback? I mean, that's, gotcha. You know, hey, I've called it this. This guy's called it that. You know, Coach Urban's called it this. It's like, okay, you know, Coach Urban, let's do it that way. I kind of like that idea. Or no, I've called it this way. This is kind of how it's going to come out. So I'm going to stick with that one. That shortens that. Yeah, let's do that. He got it down to one word rather than three words. Let's shorten that and use this. So there's a lot of give and take there.
That's fascinating stuff. And I think what fascinates most fans, they want to know exactly how this offense is going to look. You as a coach don't want to tell us how the offense is going to look yet. So within the parameter of that, is there a hint about how you might want this offense to look that'll help them understand without giving away too much?
Yeah. I mean, you know, John, the hard thing is tell me who I have, you know, tell me who's out there on day one. And then I'll give you a better answer on what it's going to look like. But, you know, I mean, there are fundamental beliefs, you know, of things that, that I believe in, that Coach Urban believes in. And, you know, number one is running the football. You know, that doesn't mean you have to establish a run, but it means, you know, you want to be able to run the ball when you want to run it. There's times you have to run it and you want to be able to do that really well. And then when we get in the pass game, I want to be explosive. I want big plays. You know, we want to have opportunities to throw the ball down the field. If the opportunity is not there, then we want to be able to check it down. But, you know, we want to have those opportunities to get big plays and flip the field.
Two guys who you've been associated with, I want to ask you about, and it's probably me as a fan more than anything, just fascinated to know about these guys. But Brett Favre, you obviously have a tremendous relationship and a big part of your career. You're a big part of his. What did you learn being around him? How did he influence you as a coach, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, he influenced me. And, you know, I was a young coach when first started, you know, so I started out as the quality control coach for my first 3 years in Green Bay. And then after three seasons, I became the quarterback coach. And so I was able to sit in there in those first three seasons, I was able to learn what I needed to know. I was able to listen to the coordinator, how he wanted it done. I was able to listen to the quarterbacks on what, you know, what they kind of liked, what they preferred. And then, so when I was able to get my shot, you know, I think the kind of thing I learned was those guys really want to be coached. They still want to be coached no matter where they are. And if you can give them any information that is going to help them be successful on Sunday, then they're all ears, you know? So, you know, make sure that you're clear, make sure that you're concise with your information and make sure that you can deliver it well to them. I think was something important as far as the way he played the game. I mean, he played the game for the love of the game. I mean, he absolutely had a blast while he was playing, but he was as competitive as they come, you know, in any of those situations. He was as tough as they come as well. You know, so being able to see that is, you know, kind of shapes you on like what you want your quarterback to be, how you want them, you know, what their mentality you want to be. But he's just, he was a phenomenal player. One of the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah, I had a chance to get to know Jim Caldwell when I worked in Indy and he was working with Peyton. And he always said, the thing about the great ones is you better come prepared every morning because they're going to press, you know, so. If you come prepared, it's fine. But if you don't, then all of a sudden, I guess you get exposed there a little bit. So probably the same thing with Brett. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I was saying that, you know, I mean, it was already kind of a daunting enough task because, I mean, he's like, I think like 2 months older than me or 3 months older than me, right. You know? So when I was coaching him at the time, I mean, you know, imagine I'm a young coach. Here I am coaching, right. You know, Brett Favre. So that is definitely true. What Coach Caldwell said that you want to come in and you need to be prepared. If you don't, you know, the guys want to be able to build trust with you. And it, you know, if you can tell them things, like I said, if you tell them things that can help them, then they're going to, you know, pay attention and they're going to listen. But if they don't think you know what you're doing, then immediately you lose that trust with them. And, you know, so you definitely have to come prepared. And he was also a tireless worker. You know, he was always one that joked about how much time we spent at the office, but then you would see him sneaking back in late and he'd be, right. You go down to one of the meeting rooms and there he was watching tape all by himself, you know?
He's one of the guys who acts like it comes naturally, but he works for it.
Yes.
No doubt. I guess same thing about Russell Wilson. You guys are obviously associated with each other very strongly and a huge influence in both directions.
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously the same alma mater, you know, both of us Wisconsin guys. You played the one season at Wisconsin. So, you know, that was an immediate tie, you know, kind of something that helped you build that trust that we talked about. And he was interesting, you know, he was the third round pick that we were able to bring in and kind of groom him from really day one. And, you know, he came in the off season, did a really nice job in rookie minicamp, had a rough first day, but then you could see from that day on that he just continued to get better and better, and he didn't make the same mistakes over and over again. Super driven guy. I mean, as driven to be the best as maybe as I've ever seen. And, he talks about it. He almost talks it into existence, you know, and, he just really believes in himself. He has a great belief in himself and, you know, and he does definitely work at it. I mean, you know that he's a tireless worker as well. Totally different kind of guy than a Brett Favre. Obviously the first thing you go to is the size, you know, and then the style of game that they played. But, you know, a special player in his own right as well. And, you know, bring him along early in his career, you know, that first season we started, you know, kind of, I don't know if you want to say training wheels, but we kind of kept it simple. And then, you know, it became clear pretty early that he was a dynamic player, that he could handle more than we were asking of him at the time. And so we just started giving more and more. And then it was just like, hey, just let it go. And we you know, basically just, you know, took the wheels off and let him go.
We're going to assume that you'll be coaching a young quarterback, and we won't talk about any names yet. How will having been around Russell help that? I assume there'll be things you can draw from, but I also assume they're all different, right?
Absolutely. They're all different. And, you know, fortunately for me and, you know, I've got a great right-hand man with Brian Schottenheimer, and he's got a guy that's done the same thing. So, you know, I was able to take a young quarterback with Russell Wilson. I mean, he had Mark Sanchez, got them in the playoffs, you know, so we both have great experience with it. And so, you know, that's something that's on our forefront of our minds to make sure that we put this kid in the best situation, you know, possible to succeed. And his ability and whoever this ends up being, you know, his ability to learn and how fast he can pick it up. Just like I said with Russell, you know, it became clear early that, you know, go ahead, you can, you know, because sometimes when they come in, John, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose, you know, there's just so much information coming at them. And so, you know, how much can they take in? And you know, we found quickly over time that, you know, Russell could handle more and more. So we started giving it to him. And it could be that kind of process, or it could be, you know, just, yeah, we're doing well. Just continue to, you know, kind of feed it gradually and, you know, we'll get where we need to go.
Being an interim head coach last year, that changed your perspective on anything?
Yeah, it did change my perspective. You know, there's a lot more of things going on that you really don't know about until you're in that chair. You know, I think you kind of go with, you know, I mean, I know it was for me. I was just so worried about what I was doing and, you know, making sure the offensive was prepared and making sure the staff was prepared on my side and, you know, our players. And, you know, all of a sudden you got to open up your view and you got to pay attention to a lot more stuff than just the football, you know. And I mean, you could even talk about the football. Now you're like with all defense, you're with special teams and, you know, how are you going to handle that? You're handling the whole team now. You're talking to them. But then there's other stuff in the building. You know, there was all the COVID stuff. I mean, there was so much stuff last year. It was kind of crazy to do for those last 5 weeks.
I remember Tony Dungy telling me the first thing he had to learn from going to coordinator to head coach was you can't solve it by going into the film room and turning off the lights.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a big difference. It's a difference. I'm not sure a lot of fans really grasp just how much of a leadership role the head coach is. Not that coordinators aren't leaders, but there's a different dynamic there, obviously.
And there's less football in it too. You know, there really is. Like your time starts getting pulled in a little bit different direction. So there can be a little bit less football. You know, fortunately, I was still doing the offensive coordinator as well, and so I was, you know, I kind of kept my same routine. But I could see how you can get pulled in the many different directions.
No doubt. If I could, maybe two or three more. I want to ask you specifically. I know you haven't been on the field with these guys yet, but there's been a little bit of a different dynamic at receiver now than when I last talked to you. What do you think of your group now that you've added Marvin Jones to it?
Oh, I mean, well, first of all, I mean, I was fortunate to have Marvin, you know, last year in Detroit, or last 2 years in Detroit. And, you know, again, number one, great person. You know, that I think that's always important, something that we're definitely looking for here with the Jaguars. And he's got a great family, you know, and so just, you know, that's kind of the thing I go to first. But then as a football player, I mean, he did, I think he ended up, you know, just, you know, a few yards short of 1,000 last year, like 9 touchdowns, and competitive player, wants the football in his hands, you know, as a wide receiver, and can make plays with it, has the ability to still go downfield, got a great field underneath. He'll do the dirty work for you. He'll go in there and block if you ask him of that. So just a well-rounded player, but also a guy that's going to have the leadership qualities to help some of those younger guys in the room. He's been in the league a long time. He'll be able to impart some knowledge that he has. Also, he has knowledge of the offense and some of the things that, you know, going to kind of ask him to do. He can translate if he needs to translate, and maybe put it in a different terms, how we did it. And, you know, just be able to take those guys a little bit under his wing. I mean, we still want him to be a great player, but, you know, as well as kind of, hey, you know, show these guys your routine. Don't be afraid to talk about it. You know, don't be afraid to bring them along and, you know, say, here's what I've done. Here's how I take care of my body. Here's how I recover. Just all those kind of things.
He's an easy guy to bang the table for, obviously. So yeah. Offensive line, able to get Cam back. How important is it to you, or how important was the concept of continuity with that group, considering it's going to be a young quarterback, a new offense? With continuity, I assume it's a group you feel like you can trust.
To get him, get Cam was really important, you know, because that left tackle position is, you know, you're assuming you're going to have a right-handed quarterback in most of these cases, right? So that's the guy that protects the backside. And then as you spoke about, you know, the continuity with the five guys to keep those guys together. I mean, I think that's, you can't really overstate that, because the communication, the little nuances that happen in there when a guy's playing side by side with somebody, you just kind of get used to, okay, this is kind of how he passes off these stunts. This is how he takes his set on this kind of call. And you get a feel for playing next to one another. So to be able to basically have those five guys, all together, the communication another year, you know, obviously a great O-line coach and Coach Warhop staying together. Looking forward to that being one of our strong groups.
Silly question. How important are the next 2 or 3 months going to be once you get these guys presumably back on the field? I know it's always important when it's new like this, the process of learning this and coming together as a team right now.
Yeah. I mean, this is where it starts. This is where you begin to build it. You know, when you're, I mean, there's nothing right now for months, you know, in terms of playing the game. And so right now is really where you build all that, where you build your team, where you build your culture. And, you know, so that's on us as coaches, where, you know, we're chomping, like I said, at the bit to be able to get started. So, you know, we can tell them all the things that we want to do. We want to tell them how we want to use them. We want to start coaching the offense and the defense. We want to get our terms in. We want to get that communication where everybody's speaking the same language down. And so, you know, we feel an urgency and, the time it takes sometimes for a team to gel, I think, is something that's super important. And this is the time of year that you do it, when you see the guys throwing the weight around, when you see the guys doing the extra work, and your guys over there, and you're encouraging one another, and you're working together with one another, and, you know, you're going through some of the pains of learning together. I think all that stuff, you know, starts to build that camaraderie.
Darrell Bevell, during a very busy time, you were willing to take 20, 25 minutes and talk to us. I appreciate it very much. I look forward to working with you. And thanks for being on the Ozone podcast today. It means a lot.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.